Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Stephen Furtick in North Carolina with Elevate Church, he has a spot here. I think it's just so encouraging because, you know, whatever brought him to this particular point, you can tell that it's like there's something that has to be dealt with. I mean, this probably never happened to you before, where you get this great idea about building something in your house or fixing something, and then you find out you don't have the time or the resources to complete it or the talent to complete it, and so you have this half, like a bathroom project or something like that.
More like talent.
Talent, and so, you know, at some point you realize we're gonna have to finish this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the ministry, in the revelation, when you're walking with God, you know, you may have some great ideas. You think this is gonna really work, but then you get this stopping point, and you realize we haven't ever completed the full thing. We could think that this is gonna lead us to a finished product, but after a while, when you're looking at no porcelain, and you know what I'm talking about. That we got to finish this project. And I love it because he's talking about right here. He says, you got to finish the job and defeat the enemy. As a matter of fact, take a look.
Jesus doesn't just come so that we can escape. He comes so that we can eliminate every trace of the enemy and darkness from our lives. Too many believers are playing not to lose. Yet note that David didn't just defeat the enemy. He destroyed him. Now, what could be said about David in this regard could be said 1,000 times more about Jesus. He didn't just defeat sin. He destroyed it. Jesus didn't just die to deliver us from death. He died so that we might reign in life. You see the parallels? He didn't just get sin out of the way so we could survive and go to heaven. He cut off the head of sin so that it would no longer have power in your life. So we no longer have to live these self-consumed, selfish, lust-driven, impulse-driven lives. Touch somebody next to you, say, finish the job, finish the job, finish the job. I don't mean to get the spirit of Mortal Kombat, but finish him. That's the word God wanted somebody to get. You're saved. You love God. You're in church. You're doing pretty good. But let's finish the job. Let's cut off the head. Let's don't just survive the struggle. We've got the enemy on the run. Now let's take his sword. I'm so sorry for preaching this aggressive sermon. But let's take his sword and finish the job. I need to point this out to you. It says that David went into the battle without a sword, but he left the battle with one because he took what was coming against him and God used it to deliver him. Oh, this is the word of God for somebody's situation today. The very thing that was meant to destroy you will be the thing God uses to deliver you. He'll turn it around, and it'll work in your favor. Shout, somebody.
That's so powerful, you know, just finishing the job.
Getting it done.
Getting it done. But the thing about what's been really taught or not taught or the absence of truth in a lot of the church in America is that you don't have to deal with sin.
Right. Right.
Sin's been dealt with on the cross, so just enjoy your life as sin.
That's right. And grace.
And you have brand new believers going, I'm trying to figure this out. I don't feel right about sin, but they're not bringing up. They're telling me that I don't have to do anything with the sin because God did everything with that sin, so I'll just keep on sinning. And what Frederick's saying is like, okay, he did deal with it, but to finish the work, as a matter of fact, Paul writes to the Church of Rome, and he's saying, listen, we have an obligation to deal with it. We have an obligation before God to be able to deal with what Furtick is talking about right here. It's a letter written to the Church of Rome, Romans 8. But the only way you can deal, you can't deal with it by saying, okay, I'm gonna write down 10 things I'm gonna do in my life that's gonna help me not sin. That actually will increase sin in your life. It will actually fuel sin because the law is the power of sin. I mean, you're not going to be able to force your way not to sin. I mean, you would have done that already. But God can empower you. And the way that he does it is that we totally rely on his finished work on the cross of Christ. It's a completed work. He says it is finished. He died for all sin and he forgives us of that sin. But we don't just walk away from that reliance. We stay reliant on him forever and eternity. It's read Revelation chapter 4 and 5. I mean, we're shouting holy and glory to the Lord who deserves all the glory because he's the one that freed us from the power of sin. But then when we rely on his finished work on the cross, what happens is, and if we're doing that, then he sent his spirit here on earth now to begin to lead us out of sin, away from sin. I mean, he says it right here in his letter, Romans 8, chapter 8, he says, those who live according to the sin nature of their flesh have their mindset on what the flesh or what our bodies naturally want to do. So you can't sit here and play Mortal Kombat.
That's right.
You can't sit here and play Grand Theft Auto. You cannot murder people all day long. You can't watch pornography all day long on your television and your computer or your phone. And you can't be hateful and be involved in all that, have that in your mind and think that you're ever going to walk out of sin. It's going to be, you're feeding into that thing. But he says the ones who are like that, they have their mindset. You got to change what you're thinking about. You got to change what you're thinking about, because if you're thinking about yourself, it ain't going to work. The more you think about yourself, it's like a black hole that just takes you deeper and deeper. You'll be surprised what happens when you start thinking about yourself. Oh, you know already. I think I heard somebody go, oh, Lord, I know it ain't. If you forget yourself, take yourself to the cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow the Lord and follow his spirit, you'll be really surprised. I'm shocked at what God has empowered me to do that I couldn't do in my own strength because I was following my spirit. And then he goes on, he says, but those who live in accordance with the spirit, in harmony is what that means, with the spirit, have their mindset on what the spirit desires. So it's not about preaching and teaching and certain kind of music. It's like, I got to change what I'm thinking if I want to change what I'm doing.
That's right.
And I got to think on the things of God. I got to ponder on the things of God. This is what Joshua says in Joshua 1. He says, I've done that and now my life is successful. You want a successful life? Follow the Spirit of God. Do what I'm talking about and realize you got to finish the work. It's going to, by the way, when you get to the throne of God and the judgment seat of Christ, no matter what anybody has told you, you are going to be held accountable for your life.
Hmm.
Not only your actions, but he says we're going to be held accountable for every word we said. That's why I'm like repenting all the time. I'm like, dear God, forgive Pat for what he said. It's just terrible. I mean, forgive me for what I said. You don't know what. And then he says that the mind governed or controlled by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit, which in other words saying, you know, spirit of God, lead me in the path of righteousness for the Lord's name's sake. You know, exhaling, you know, your sin going, God, forgive me. But inhaling saying, Holy Spirit, come take control of my life. Why? Because you can't do this in your own strength. You've got to finish the work. Like Frederick said, America's not going to turn if the church doesn't turn. America's not going to repent if the church in America doesn't repent. How do we do that? We finish the work. And then he says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at, it's like, if you just keep buying into the darkness and thinking there's no big deal and something happened way back when 2,000 years ago that keeps you being able to stay in darkness, guess what? That's a hostile. And look how hostile America is towards God. Look how hostile, quiet the church is towards the hostility.
Takeover.
Well, and the reason why is because the church is in sin.
Yeah.
The mind of the church is in things that are not of God, not the spirit. So we can repent. That's what's so awesome about Jesus. And he says, not only is it hostile towards God, but it doesn't even want to submit to what God wants. So it's hostile and rebellious.
Mm.
So the world, American people reflecting the American church. But you're not going to have authority and say something about something that you yourself don't yet have authority over.
That's right.
You know, sin makes cowards of believers, according to what Creflo Dollar said, in our own experiences, probably.
Yeah.
No, you pray. Anyway, so I'm dealing with a few things right here. And then he says this in verse 9, he says, you, however, and I think this is what Frederick's talking about, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you're in the realm of the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God lives in you. If he doesn't live in you, then you're not part of that. And he said, the Spirit gives us life. But then he goes on to verse 13. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, talking to the church, not to the world, we have an obligation.
Mm.
So we have an obligation to finish the work.
We
have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if we live according to it, to the flesh, we will die. He didn't say, you will no longer die because you said a prayer 20 years ago. It doesn't matter what sin you're in. That's a lie. He says it right here. He says, We have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature, to the flesh, to live according to living in harmony with darkness. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. Mm. But if we live by the Spirit, in harmony with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, then we will actually put to death the misdeeds of the body. So all that stuff can only be dealt with, not by you making a few task lists how to deal with it. It's like, I'm totally dependent and rely upon you. I've got Jesus, lead me, your Spirit, just lead me. And what happens is, it's not that you don't sin, is that when you follow the Spirit of God, you sin less and less and less as he leads us out of sin. It's amazing what happens. And the Spirit of God empowers us. It gives us a grace to be able to remove sin from our life more than we ever thought could happen.
That's right.
But it's a progressive thing. And he says very specifically about the battle that we wage, the war that we wage. There's a moment of complete obedience, but that comes at obviously the return mm-hmm. of our Lord and Savior. But he says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, and that's what it is. It's, this is how we actually finish the work. You don't finish the work by getting a group and start talking about, I'm going to finish the work. You got to say, you know, God, I want your Spirit in my life. You know, I want to be led by your Spirit. He says, you know, make a son of God. This is what he says. He says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We're not children of God if we're not following God. If we're following dark devils who are, Jesus says, you're listening to
who's
a father,
dad?
All right. Who's your dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean just because we say he's our father. He's our father known by how we live our life and what we actually do. And you got to see this. I want you to see this before we go to break. You know, the Stand in the Gap, when we went there, and the Stand in the Gap was 1997, most powerful thing, according to Lou Engle, that's happened in the American church in the recent years, is this one song that they sang, that we sang. There was millions of us out there. There was millions of us out there. And we were repenting for our sin and the sin of the nation. And one thing we said is, Jesus, make a man out of me, a man of the Spirit, a man of his word, and the Spirit of God can change you. That's how you can finish the work. Take a look at this.
In 1997, Promise Keepers put 1 million men on the Mall to pray for America, an historic event in church history. And I begin to declare the hearts of the fathers are turning to the children, and there's coming a corresponding movement of the young people turning to the fathers.
What a powerful event.
Yes.
You know, Lou Engle was talking about that. And the thing is that, you know, at that time in the church, men were trying to, first of all, they started acknowledging men.
Yeah.
Which was a new thing at that time in the church, that there's men. And that, you know, men began to talk about the seven promises, the promise keepers. Paul Dugard from Denmark. Said it that way. And Coach McCartney began to, you know, wrote this book, Seven Promises of the Promise Keepers. This is a history lesson for those today probably don't even know about that.
Yeah.
And there were seven distinct promises that John will read off to you in a moment. No, I'm messing with you. And that these men would get together in small groups, and that's where we begin to build small men's groups that would hold each other accountable to these promises.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, imagine now different churches began to have these small men's groups, and one church may have like 10 groups, for example.
Sure.
And then there was this a stand in the gap. God looks for a man, as the Word of God says in Ezekiel, to stand in the gap so they don't have to destroy the land. The interesting thing was, the concern was, President Bill Clinton was president then, and they felt like, the church felt like at that time, that if we don't repent, then God's going to take this nation down. And that's actually his wife, by the way, that people, younger people don't even know that. That's, her husband was president, and now his wife is running for president now. I guess, yeah, she's running, right?
Yeah.
Running for president. And so we were actually on, I mean, look at, can you see this picture? Just take a look at this picture. This is the Mall right there. Oh, now you're seeing the Capitol building up front right here, but you see there's an arrow up close up front up there.
I don't know who doctored all that.
Well, that's actually Pat and I, because we knew we needed to be there in our faces before the Lord. But now look, way back by the Washington Monument, and way back by the Washington Monument, there's an arrow pointing right down there. You see this guy with no hair right there, but arrow's pointing at? That's John. Back there. Now your hotel was like right next.
Yeah. But I allowed you to go ahead.
Go ahead. You didn't even see us.
And yes. I was actually with my small men's group. So we, you know, I had some people in my group. I wanted to stay with my group.
So y'all still were not spirit led. I mean, how did y'all not get to this?
I waited.
We were in the basement. We were in Jezebel's basement.
Lord.
In Maryland. No, I'm just joking. You know, I'm just joking. We love you. Anyway, so.
It's the
I'm
father.
Surprised. You don't even get
it's
past
the father's
that.
Heart.
No, so we had a great place to be able to stay there. And this man, a husband, was there. And they gave us a place to stay. And it was in Maryland.
Yes.
And so Pat, you know, he was new in the Lord. He squeaked when he walked back then. He didn't have the gray hair. And he wasn't as thin as he is now. Pray for him. Send him some bread.
Wow.
Some fatty foods. Anyway, so we're sitting here with this guy at his coffee table, and his other part was upstairs, right? And he was concerned. He didn't want to make any noise or upset this particular lady, wife, I guess. I guess this was his wife. And so we didn't understand that at the particular time. And so he's whispering to us. And he's just saying, I understand. It's the Father's heart. It's the I'm telling you. I mean, if Pat was here, I mean, he would tell you.
Mm-hmm.
He's just whispering, it's the Father's heart. You know, I'm watching him. He's looking at me. I'm watching this man. And he's looking at me. I'm like, oh, my goodness, you're right. It's God's heart, the Father's heart. Right? He's whispering because he don't want to wake up someone who thinks it's actually the mother's heart. Anyway, so, I was like, you're right. The anointing was just so strong, right? And so I look over at Pat because I knew that he was going to be taking notes or something important, right?
What was he doing?
Well, I looked around, and he was sitting there with a piece of pizza in his mouth.
He was eating pizza?
He was not even only eating pizza, but he was smacking with a piece of pizza. He was holding it like this, just going, I'm like, dude, it's the Father's heart. He's like,
wow.
He cannot make it past 6 p.m. He gets really sleepy after 6 p.m. But that was early on before
But back to the Promise Keepers event.
Yes, the Promise Keepers.
You know, a million men came from all over the country.
More than a million.
Yeah, but all over the country, which is pretty amazing.
There was this is what was happening. There are so many things happening. We got to talk about fully in another program. But we were coming from Maryland. We stayed in Maryland. You stayed next door to the event. And you see where we are in that arrow and where it is.
Wow.
And
you guys are so humble about that. It's just... That's not, I like that.
It's
like
important,
that.
You know, if you don't remember history, you're doomed to repeat
I
it.
I see.
But it was so powerful because all these men, and we looked around, we noticed some of the men, these are men from all over the country, and there's nothing more beautiful than a humble, godly man who's willing to bury his face in the dirt and say, God, I've sinned. And all of us were bowing our faces and just saying, God, forgive us of our sin.
Mm.
But this is the song that was sung. It just radiated throughout of Washington and the museums and all through the subways. Like, Jesus, make a man out of me. A man of the spirit.
Mm.
And that's what he's talking about in Romans 8. That's what Furtick was talking about. That it's you can't do this in your own strength. I don't care how much weight you lift. I don't care how much protein drink you drink. I don't care how many degrees you have to your name. The only way that you can be less and less sinful is to follow the spirit of God. Sin is dealt with on the cross, but we're obligated, like Furtick said, to finish the work. And Jesus finishes that by us following his spirit. I want to pray with you right now. You know, maybe you want to make a decision for Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out, you know, our testimonies about meeting him. And you can meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. But maybe you want to get involved. Contact us and let us know. I want to pray for you right now. Get committed. Quit living with this thing that you want to get rid of. God has an empowerment for you to be able to get rid of that, to finish the work. If we want the nation to turn, you're going to have to turn. The church has got to turn. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what Furtick is saying. We thank you for Coach McCartney and what happened in 1997. We thank you for Lou Engle and what's taking place even now. Lord God, we just pray that you would, we thank you for your finished work on the cross. We place our complete trust in your finished work, totally and completely, Lord. And we just say, lead us by your spirit. Jesus, make men of us, men and women, Lord, men of your spirit, women of your spirit, men of our word, God, we just pray. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.